final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Our next interview is straight out of 2010 or before. That's about the time in history we would expect to have a visit with Peter Bay, the conductor of the Brit Festival Orchestra for the summer season in Jacksonville. But Peter Bay left and Teddy Abrams took over the orchestra. That went on for a decade. Now Abrams has moved on. There's an interim setup at the Brit Orchestra, and Peter Bay is back to conduct four of the seven orchestra concerts starting Thursday night, June 13th. He joins me in the studio. Peter Bay, thanks for taking the time to come down.
Jeffrey, it's a pleasure to be back.
Have you been back to the Rogue Valley at all since you stepped down as the Brit conductor?
A few times. I came to visit my previous host family, who still live here, and I was back here in February to help kick off the summer for a little season preview.
How different is the place from what you remember?
A lot of it's the same. A lot of it has expanded. The downtown Medford area has grown more commercially, I think. But fortunately, the Brit Hill, when I went to see it, has grown a little bit, but the same feel is there. And I can't tell you how thrilled I am to be back here.
So stepping back into that whole musical part of it, I mean, the part where you have to, you know, the job you're doing here, is it like an old pair of shoes or something?
In a way, this is a rather high-pressured sort of situation here because we have basically three rehearsals to put a program together, whereas probably back home we have four rehearsals. So this orchestra is so gifted and talented that it can work quickly to put on a program of a very high level.
You mentioned as you were taking your seat before we get on the air about the fact that your first rehearsal is today.
Tonight.
2 days before the actual taking the stage.
That's right. That's how quickly we have to work. And I think most of the players are arriving today, if not a little bit yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I know I asked you this when we talked by phone a few months ago, but a lot of the same people from back then or many new faces in the orchestra?
For me, many new faces. I think there are about 20 or so that worked here, maybe even fewer when I was last here, which was 2012.
Okay. And you were saying as you came into the room, you auditioned for this job when?
1992.
Uh-huh.
I had to do some quick math. That's 32 years ago I auditioned for this job, and then I was lucky to get the job the following summer and stayed for 20 years.
Wow.
And now another 12 years have passed, it's an amazing feeling to be wanted back and to be back to work here.
So part of the process is going to be not just doing the conducting for part of this summer with Alexandra Ariesh doing the other part of it, but helping to pick the next person, the next permanent?
Well, that I won't be part of, but my heavy lifting took place a few months ago where I had to listen to over 100 auditions, recorded auditions, to fill in the gaps in the orchestra. And I selected a number of people that my selections got passed on to the other members of the selection committee, and we put together a fabulous orchestra.
You know, I've often wondered about that with all those violins, all those violas, for example. I mean, if you're like the 12th chair in viola, can you miss a couple of notes? How carefully do you have to go through all of the seats in the orchestra?
Rather carefully. The people who are in the orchestra had to go through very strenuous audition processes to get in. So even the 12th chair violist will be able to play all of the notes very, very well.
Peter Bay is our guest of the Jefferson Exchange, the part-time conductor at the Brit Festival Orchestra this summer, coming back to the Rogue Valley after being gone for a decade. Spending his time in Austin is where you live most of the time?
Yes, I just finished my 27th season with the Austin Symphony. In fact, we had a concert on Saturday night. So flew here early Sunday morning and raring to go.
And in fact, you have some further commitments, don't you? Is that why you're not doing all of the concerts here?
Well, it's an unusual situation this summer since I'm an interim conductor. Alejandra is coming to conduct 1 week, but I still have a couple more concerts left in Austin. In fact, the day after I leave, I have rehearsals and a concert that Sunday, and we have one more concert in Austin on the 4th of July, which it's attended by about 80 to 90,000 people.
No pressure.
Very little.
So talk about the things you're playing. I see the first concert on Thursday the 13th is Grieg Dvorak and Gabriela Montero.
Gabby is one of my dearest friends. She's a Venezuelan pianist, very highly sought after around the world to play with the major orchestras. She's not only a great pianist, she's an expert improviser. she usually, as an encore, will ask the audience either to sing a few notes or sing a tune. Then she will repeat those few notes on the piano, sit for about 10 seconds, and then create an 8-minute, 7-minute improvisatory suite based on those notes. There are very few people that I know who could do that on the spur of the moment and have it sound like a well-wrought composition. That's how extraordinary she is.
Wow. Yeah. That's an amazing. That'd be fun.
You'll want
to
hear that.
Yeah. Then on the 15th, Saturday, Beethoven, Tchaikovsky, and Geneva Lewis.
Geneva is a relative newcomer to the concert stage, but she's already won some major competitions. She won an Avery Fisher Grant, which former grant recipients have been Yo-Yo Ma, Emmanuel Ax, and so forth. So she's a very brilliant young violinist, and to play the Beethoven is quite a milestone.
So then you have two versions of Star Wars: A New Hope, which old-timers like ourselves will recognize as the first Star Wars movie.
The first one, yes.
But, yeah, now called Star Wars 4.
Right.
And you're doing it in concert both Thursday the 20th and Friday the 21st.
Right. We'll suspend a rather large screen in front of the pavilion, and the orchestra will be playing the John Williams soundtrack, every note of it, live, coordinated with the film.
All right, so it's not just excerpts, it's the whole film?
Oh, no, it's the whole film. Every single note coordinated with the film. They've managed to cut the soundtrack out of the film, and we provide that live.
Well, I've been always curious about that whole playing with movies thing, because it seems to be quite the hot item among orchestras lately.
Oh, yes, we do it a lot. All orchestras are doing it now because audiences really enjoy it.
But is it easy to get out of sync?
Not too easy. Fortunately, there's a really terrific coordination system set up. We'll all be wearing headsets with a click track, and that's like a metronome that runs in our ears to keep in time with the screen. And then I have several monitors in front of me, TV monitors, with all kinds of visual cues to help me stay in the right bar, at the right tempo. It tells me when to get ready to start a cue, when to stop, when to cut the orchestra off, warnings, all sorts of colored streamers that come across my screen.
Is there an intermission?
There is an intermission, right, which did not happen in the original movie, but they had to break one in there, especially for concert versions with orchestras, because we need a break.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, 2.5 hours on stage would be quite a while to be sitting there playing playing stuff.
Right.
So, and how is the movie sound balanced with the orchestra?
Well, I think, this film always travels with a production manager, so it's the manager's duty to make sure that the orchestra sound doesn't cover up the dialogue, and vice versa. So there's sound manipulation going on, but when the audience sits on the hill, they should be able to hear a really beautifully balanced performance of the film as if they were watching it at home, but far better sounding because you're hearing live music.
No doubt. Well, I talked to Peter Bay here, who is the part-time conductor of the Brit Festival Orchestra this summer. Of course, he's a conductor emeritus from years ago, having left more than a decade ago and giving way to Teddy Abrams, who has moved on. So now there's this interim summer where we have Peter Bay for 4 concerts, and then is it Alejandra?
Alejandra, I believe. She's Brazilian. So I attempted to pronounce her name, and she said, well, that's pretty close. But being Brazilian, they pronounced R's like H's.
Oh.
So, for example, Maurice Ravel
is
the composer, as opposed to Ravel.
Yes.
Rimsky-Korsakov.
Yes, it's not Recife, it's Hechife, yes.
See?
Yes, okay. So Alejandra Arrieta, which I will be interviewing her, I understand, as part of our series of interviews, live interviews before the shows during the Brit Orchestra concerts. I've been watching Alejandra for years with the Night of the Proms concerts in Europe. But so back to what you have to do, though. I mean, as a music director for the Austin Symphony and for what you're doing for Brit this summer, I mean, do you have to listen to new pieces constantly?
Oh, yes. In fact, each of my programs here, except for Star Wars, will start with a relatively new piece. And I've always believed that we should play new music. After all, I understood that Mozart and Beethoven, Brahms, they were all living composers at one time. So we ought to honor living composers. And but I think the pieces that our audiences will hear here are so approachable and wonderful that there'll be no problem being introduced to new pieces.
Is each audience a bit different? I mean, do you try things in Austin, perhaps, that you might not put before a Brit audience or vice versa?
You know, in my years here, and that was 20 of them, I found that we have very, very cultured audiences here. Now, I didn't do too many avant-garde things when I was here, and I don't do that many avant-garde things in Austin either. So I just try to find the right mix of masterworks with a little bit of new music interspersed. And usually it's the opening work when audiences are fresher.
And so what are the pieces? We have Grieg and Dvorak. Those are well-known names on the Thursday concert. What else is in there that is newer?
Well, it turns out it's a piece of film music by Nigel Westlake. And if you don't know his name, you probably know his most famous score, which was Babe. And Babe, Pig in the City. Mm-hmm. You know, that'll be all pig. He's a wonderful composer and writes in a very sort of romantic fresh way, but in a very recognizable way, if I could say that. Music is colorfully orchestrated. This is a sort of an amalgam of music he wrote for a film called Paper Planes, which is an Australian film. And the little sweetie device is called Flying Dream.
Huh.
Then on Saturday's concert, we have a piece by a Canadian composer, John Estacio, called Wondrous Light, which was inspired by the Aurora Borealis. And if I may say, it reminds me of John Williams's film music. Very, again, colorfully orchestrated, very positive feeling, and not avant-garde at all.
So did you and Alejandra pick the pieces for this summer?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I picked mine. There was a lot of give and take. There were some pieces that she really wanted to do, and I said, of course, let's see if we can put together our concert so that our audiences throughout the 3 weeks will hear a wide variety of things and that we're not going to repeat too many composers or too many styles.
So talk about the appeal for somebody to become the next permanent person to replace you or to replace Teddy Abrams, who replaced you, et cetera. I mean, is the Brit assignment a summer plum for a conductor?
It certainly is. It certainly is. It's a demanding plum because there are at least 7 different programs that happen in 3 weeks. Now, for example, in Austin, I do 8 different programs spaced over an academic year, for example.
Oh, wow.
So there is a lot of work crammed into 3 weeks, and the players are quite tested by the end of the 3 weeks just because of the amount of work that they have to put in mm-hmm. to learn to play all of this music.
I'm still impressed that all these people come in with what you said, 3 rehearsals before they hit
the
stage?
3 rehearsals and then a concert.
Huh.
Again, that's one fewer than normal, mm-hmm. I would say. But again, the level of playing is very high. So, and there are people in this orchestra from all over the country. And I believe Canada and Spain.
And you mentioned the host families. The host families play a rather critical role, I would think, in making people comfortable while they're here.
Extraordinary role. And this festival would not exist comfortably without these remarkable host families who take in the musicians, allow them to practice in their homes, often feed them, just take care of them. They're really incredible people. And I had a wonderful family, the Retzlaffs, who are still here and is still going to come to the concert. So I'm thrilled.
Final question. We're almost out of time. I noticed when you and Alejandra actually share the middle weekend. And so is it going to be like tag team wrestling? Will you actually be on stage at the same time?
Not at the same time. She'll rehearse in the morning next week, and I'll rehearse in the evening.
All right.
But we'll see each other for sure.
Concerts at the Brit Festival Orchestra, June 13th, June 15th, June 20th, June 21st, with Peter Bay conducting, June 22nd, 24th, 27th, 29th, with Alejandra Arriesh conducting. Peter Bay, welcome back to the Rogue Valley.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey. Pleasure.
And thanks for coming to the Jefferson Exchange. And that'll do it for today's exchange. Check us out online at jeffexchange.org. Our senior producer is Angela Decker of JPR News. Charlie Zimmerman is our assistant producer from the student body at Southern Oregon University and about to graduate, I should point out. Zach Beagle is at the controls today, our student assistant. Maxwell and Terry Longshore composed our theme music. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Please join us next time on the Jefferson Exchange and have a great day.